Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Chair congratulates Reverend Matthew C. Harrison and declares him as the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
It's faith that makes you aware of the doubt. And a person that has no faith in God isn't hurt by doubt. It's the Christians that are feeling the struggle that's inside of them.
Florida truck drivers love Issues, etc.
Friday often comes so soon. I know it's a welcome day for many entering upon the weekend. It's always a busy day here at Issues, etc. Busy because Friday is the time when we take time out of talking to, for the most part, out of talking to guests and experts and talk with our listeners. Sometimes it's via the comment line, sometimes it's via the phone line, sometimes it's via our email, which is voluminous. That's an actual word, voluminous, if properly pronounced. And that's what we'll be doing on this Friday's Issues, Etc., a little listener email, the Issues, Etc. comment line. We will also be picking Issues, Etc. blog of the week. In the second hour of the program, have you seen this new ad campaign? I'm a Mormon. I didn't even notice it because it is so slick and so well made. And if you don't watch the commercial all the way to the end for the tagline, and I'm a Mormon, you would miss the fact that it's an advertisement for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's both radio and television. And once Craig pointed it out to us here last week, we started looking for it, and we're going to get Bill McKeever in the second hour, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, to respond to the campaign and also to tell us what exactly the Mormons are doing in this, their latest, and they are famous, and they should be commended, I guess, in this sense, that they put their money where their mouth is when it comes to using media to get their message out. What is the message of the new ad campaign, I'm a Mormon? Then it's time for Soundbite of the Week in the second hour of the program. Four Issues, Etc. soundbites for you to listen to and to vote for, and we'll be giving away the LPR bundle package, as usual, an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker to the person with the best vote during Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's coming up here in about 90 minutes on the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us here in the studio. We'll get to your email in just a moment. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or if you'd like to vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week, you can visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you are not a fan yet, all you do, you'll know you're not when you see at the top of the page, if you're not a fan of the Issues, Etc. fan page, there'll be a little button up there with a kind of a thumbs up thing that says like. All you got to do is click that, say you like it, and you become one of the Issues, Etc. Fans on our fan page, which is, we're pushing 4,400 of you happy fans of Issues, Etc. We thank you very much for your participation daily there at the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
All right, you alluded to this email last week. It was it's an email from a pastor. Steve is his name. We'll just say Steve. The email reads, "Happy days are here again. Really? As I listened to the Issues, Etc. interview with Pastor Matt Harrison, I was impressed with his focus on the Word as he again reminded us all that we are sinners and that we are all in need of a Savior. Since his election, I have prayed for him that he may lead our splintered church body by the Spirit of the one true God toward unity. After the interview with Reverend Harrison, I was taken aback by some of your comments. I understand that you are a supporter of the newly elected president and that you have a heart for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Your love for the LCMS stems back to your childhood and your education through the LCMS school system. I also was raised in the LCMS and spent my childhood in LCMS elementary schools. What I found missing in your post-interview comments was an appreciation for the ministry of President Gerald Kishnick. As students of LCMS elementary schools, we learn the meaning of the fourth commandment. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. And the eighth commandment, we should fear and love God so that we don't tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything in the kindest way. Or as I learned it, put the best construction on everything. I understand that our church has differing views on many issues, and that you are, for reasons of faith and conscience, not a supporter of President Kishnick. Throughout history, God has allowed different leaders to be placed into offices of authority for his purpose. We are, as God's children, called to honor them, speak well of them, and put the best construction on everything. As we strive to bring our beloved church body into unity, we need to remember both of these commandments. I felt personally attacked during your post-interview comments because my support was for President Kishnick. As it says in Matthew 18:15, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. Unity can only start at the foot of the cross. With all of the humility that Reverend Harrison expressed in both his address to the convention, as well as on his interview on Issues Etc., I was shocked that Issues Etc. didn't use this platform to promote unity, but diversity. Happy Days Are Here Again was a poor choice of songs to play after the interview. It's as bad as sports teams playing na-na-na-na-na-na-na, hey-hey-hey, goodbye. It simply says, our team won, your team stinks, so just go away. It's not a song of unity. Brother, although we are on differing sides of the aisle on some issues, I know that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will continue to stay on the same side as our hearts yearn for the lost. I pray that Issues Etc. continues a format of unity in the LCMS, as Reverend Harrison said, not through coercion, but through brotherly love to work together for the kingdom. May the Lord Jesus Christ continue to bless you in the ministry that he has entrusted you, writes Steve.
Well, first of all, let's explain where the, I mean, there was no meeting of the minds on the bump music. I mean, I think Jeff and I probably exchanged three words
that's,
on it before the show.
That's my fault. I chose the bump music. And I don't apologize for it.
We were happy. I mean, that was what we were trying to express. And trying to express our joy at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's convention, electing a man who will provide genuine pastoral guidance and teaching and instruction to a very fractured church body. And that's all we were trying to express. We were not trying to express anything about the outgoing administration. We've made our thoughts on the outgoing administration abundantly clear elsewhere. As far as I'm concerned, once the election was over and Dr. Kishnick very ably rounded off his final duties there at the convention, running the convention, I wasn't there, but as far as I could tell, in a very even-handed and professional way, there's none better at running a convention than Dr. Kishnick. And once his duties are wrapped up as of the end of August, there's nothing more to be said. I mean, looking back to the previous administration and dwelling on that just doesn't get us any place. It's simply not relevant any longer. So the bump music was solely intended to express and probably to reflect many of our listeners' attitudes on that day, that President Harrison had been, I should say President-elect Harrison, had been elected as the president. It was no comment on, not intended as at least on my part, I think on Jeff's part either, as a comment on the previous administration. I can't remember exactly what I said in my post-Harrison interview comments. I say a lot of things, but I think the absence of reference to Dr. Kishnick, well, Pastor Harrison said it himself. He commended Dr. Kishnick insofar as I think Dr. Kishnick can be commended for 9 years of service, taking this church body in a direction that I think was quite wrong in many ways. But he can be commended for his sincere, and I believe this a completely sincere desire to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The means by which he proposed that this church body do it, I think was wrongheaded. But the ultimate goal, I think, was commendable. And for his leadership in the last 9 years, which he has done very ably, he has been a very able leader. That doesn't mean that you agree with the direction in which he leads the institution, but he's been able in what he's done.
Pastor Steve, I'd like to ask you this.
You're addressing the emailer,
yes,
right?
Okay. The emailer, yes. Now, Pastor Todd, the issue of unity, I like to do this. Did the cancellation of this ministry, as you call it, lead to greater unity or less unity in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? A. B. Obviously, you couldn't answer that question that it led to more unity in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So did you voice your opposition to the cancellation of this, quote, end quote, ministry?
Good questions. Good questions. Well, and it actually leads me to ask another question, not so much a question, just make a comment. Before we pursue unity in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we probably should agree on what it is. If it is everyone feeling comfortable around one another, I don't think we'll ever achieve that. I don't know of any church body. If it is everyone agreeing on everything, that is also not humanly possible. That's only possible in the resurrection, where we will all really be of one mind. We have to have a basis for this unity. We already have it. We don't have to invent it. We don't have to seek it out. I think Pastor Will Wheaton has, a frequent guest on the program, has actually asked the perfect question in the last several months, and I hope he continues to ask it. I hope it's a question that gets pressed, both at the synodical level and throughout all the congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the kindest and most brotherly way. Are the Lutheran Confessions, the 1580 Book of Concord, is that sufficient to establish and maintain unity among us? It's the most important question we could be asking as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod today. If you call, I will answer. If you fall, I'll pick you up. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy is dedicated to promoting Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis around the world. We are the publisher of the Lutheran Catechesis Series, catechetical materials for use with adults and children, in congregations and on the mission field, in families and in schools. Visit our website at peacesussex.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Friday afternoon, July the 30th, we're coming to you live and going through listener email. I said something before the break about Pastor Whedon's question. Are the Lutheran Confessions, the Book of Concord of 1580, is it sufficient to both establish and maintain unity among Lutherans? Now, the answer given by the very first Lutherans was yes. The question for the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod today is it still enough? And it's not just a question of should we add more, because that's a very difficult thing to do. The question is, can we agree on these things? It occurred to me when I was teaching Bible class on Sunday morning last week, the real problem in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod is not what we say we believe, but what we actually put into practice. And that is a question of, the term here is confessional subscription. Do our pastors and our congregations subscribe to the Lutheran confessions because they are right expositions, exhibitions of the clear teaching of God's Word? Or do we subscribe to them insofar as? Or the way I like to put it, do we subscribe to them when we feel like it? Pastor Whedon's actually raised another question. I think he wrote about this on his blog. He said, the difference between a Lutheran congregation and a congregation just calls itself Lutheran is a Lutheran congregation not only teaches the Lutheran confessions, actively teaches them and practices what it is they set forth, but is willing to be corrected by those same confessions. And if a congregation or a pastor is unwilling to be corrected by the Lutheran confessions, he cannot call himself a Lutheran. End of case.
Getting back to that, let me clarify my unity comments. I'm getting a little frustrated with people who we know are vocal opponents of this show, who post-synodical convention are calling for unity. And I just like to turn the tables on them and say, once again, did the cancellation of the show lead to more unity or less unity? And did you voice your opposition to that cancellation because it disunified the Synod? That's all I was trying to do. And Steve, I don't know if you're a pastor, Steve. I don't know if you're a supporter or not, and I apologize, for...
The question is probably better posed directly. Generally to those who are calling for unity didn't seem too concerned with unity. Actually, to this day, don't seem too concerned with unity. They seem concerned with doing their own thing rather than unity. Our call in number 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's see, we got somebody on the phone, but my computer isn't working. Ah, no, not someone on the phone, someone from the comment line.
Gentlemen, as a podcast on-demand listener and a member of the other synod with a state in its name, my information and knowledge of LCMS stuff comes when and where I stumble across it. I recently learned from a blog by Will Whedon of what happened at your recent convention. In the aftermath of the Holy Tuesday happenings a couple years ago, I left a message on Pastor Todd's personal answering machine to the effect that, fear not, the stones would cry out. I make absolutely no claim to any gifts of prophecy whatsoever. However, it appears that the rock slide is ongoing. Soli Deo Gloria.
Thank you very much for the comment. This is one of my deepest and sincerest hopes for the coming days of confessional Lutheranism in the United States. Well, all over the world, but especially in the United States. And that is that my church body, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, would actually start to would recognize the fact that there are other confessional Lutherans in the United States. We have spent so many years pining after, following around like a lonely wallflower, following the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America around, hoping they will pay attention to us, hoping they will affirm us. Because they're bigger. all the while they've more or less ignored us and gone their own way and slipped further and further into apostasy. And all the while, what we have failed to see is, right there in front of our faces, our fellow confessional Lutherans in the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, in the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, in other smaller, and I don't know the alphabet soup for them, Lutheran synods, all there, all along, confessional Lutheran brothers and sisters. And we just haven't given the time of day in the last decade. I don't even know if we'll return their phone calls. We need them. They need us. And we have wasted a lot of time trying to catch the ELCA's attention. Look at me. Look at me. And they've blown us off and blown off the scriptures and blown off the Lutheran confessions. We don't need to waste any more time there. There are still Christians there that we should be calling out and holding out our arms to. Absolutely. But we also have confessional Lutheran brothers and sisters in America and elsewhere who we need. All right, enough of that.
A couple more convention email, and then we'll move on, I promise. Carol in Duluth, Minnesota, as I look back on the cancellation of Issues, etc., I can now see very clearly the hand of God working His good. I do not believe the results of the Synodical Convention would have occurred without it. I had just started listening to Issues, etc., just prior to its cancellation, and was very upset when it was canceled. That event caused me, and apparently many other people, to take a look at our beloved Synod with a more critical eye. I think that any time we have an event in our lives that is not what we had planned, it is good to step back and take a look back at what God is doing. My faith has grown stronger because of the trials God has allowed me to experience, including the absence of Issues, etc. Keep up the good work, writes Carol in Duluth, Minnesota.
And we're happy to do it, to keep up the good work. Again, I don't know. We'll leave that to the persons who will write the histories and who will study these things in detail, how much of a connection there is. They call it an Issues, Etc. revolution. I'm happy to hear things like that. But at the same time, I think there was an awful lot more going on. And people can sit and analyze it and say, why did it happen this way? I'm just happy that it did. So, and with absolutely no regrets whatsoever.
I think somebody deserves a little more credit is Molly Ziegler Hemingway, the Dana Perino of confessional Lutheranism. Two things. Number one is her taking the cancellation of Issues, etc., outside of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and our listeners to the Wall Street Journal, but also her continual reporting for years now at the Brothers of John the Steadfast site and Pastor Tim Rosso and their website there as well.
Well, there's a reason I have Molly's Wall Street Journal article hanging on the wall behind me.
That's because my wife put it in a frame for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Tell the truth.
Yeah. And it receives the place of greatest honor beneath the Issues, Etc. banner there, first place. And then it's followed by a number of other articles from World Magazine and from Chronicles Magazine and from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And it stretches all the way around the back here until we have a St. Louis Post-Dispatch article dealing with the return of Issues, Etc. And there's a reason for that, because that kind of notoriety, we couldn't have bought that kind of notoriety. And I think what she did brilliantly was make the connection immediately, before many did, between the direction that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was headed at the time and the cancellation. Regardless of who is responsible for the cancellation, she made the right connection right there in that article. And it's just a brilliant piece of reporting and of thinking the whole issue through. Let's see what Chris in Michigan has to say. Hi, Chris.
Yes, what bothered me is a couple months ago, there was a conference in Connecticut that was held at a LCMS church for the Christians United for Israel, and I'm wondering, why are they bothering to even call themselves Lutherans? I'd like to see more LCMS churches follow the formula of Concord and stop being non-denominational evangelicals.
Well, Chris, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Michigan. Unfortunately, I was talking before about those pastors and congregations that are simply determined to go their own way. They talk about unity, but what they mean is, let us do as we please and let us be, redefine Lutheran however it pleases us. And that's exactly the kind of stuff I'm talking about. What creates unity? The truth. What divides? Falsehood. What gathers people together around God's word? The true and bold confession. What scatters? A false confession. What is true unity? True unity is created only by God's word. And true unity is not a way we feel about each other. It is how it is what we believe, teach, and confess. It's not about liking each other, although it's nice to like each other. It is about believing, teaching, and confessing. That is, believing, teaching, confessing, practicing. Practice goes along with this. The same truth. And anything else, anything short of that, may call itself unity. But it's just division masquerading as unity. We'll be right back.
Write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
If you're a regular listener of my daily commentaries, you know I'm a firm believer in abstinence until marriage. The Centers for Disease Control released a new study showing abstinence truly works. This organization can't be accused of being pro-abstinence, so their findings are eye-opening. Nearly 60% of teen boys and girls said they're virgins, and the reason they gave most was premarital sex is against their religious or moral beliefs. This research is consistent with earlier findings. Mom and Dad, what you're teaching your children works. Keep doing it. This new research flies in the face of those in Montana and many other places who are pushing sex education on kids only 10 years old and advocating homosexuality to first graders. Stand strong against their agendas.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman. Mr. Postman, look and see.
We're going through our listeners, your email on this Friday afternoon. As usual, it's July the 30th. We're coming to you live a little bit later, Blog of the Week. We'll talk with Bill McKeever in the second hour about that new ad campaign from the Mormons, I'm a Mormon. Very slick. What is it teaching us? What are they trying to say? And then Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week.
Quick email from Jim in Texas. He's, I'm a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, but I want to congratulate the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the Issues, Etc. Revolution election at the convention. Thanks for listening in, Jim. Are in Texas, Jim.
Jim, thank you very much. It's always nice to hear from our Baptist friends, and I know that there are many in many different denominations that we're actually watching and pulling for the return of some sound confessional Lutheran leadership in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Millie's on the line. Hi, Millie.
Hi. I just want to comment that I think, well, with Issues, Etc., had lots to do with this, but the prayers that were all said all during these 2 years and some, thinking and praying for Harrison to get in for the many good reasons. But best of all, Todd, when you were on, I flipped my computer to go from the convention to BJS, and there you had the top wording about this, and we should all be praying. Well, I'll tell you, I flipped down all through that, and I just had a feeling, and it was this not warm, fuzzy feeling, but the unity, and the just it just grasped me, and I was almost in tears. And one of the hymns that Reverend Poppy from Nebraska had written and typed all in there, and this was just in a matter of many, many minutes right before the election, and it was almost, you're looking for the word unity, but we had all this communion of saints, too. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And look, this is the great thing about what it means to be united in Christ, in the body of Christ, and have the unity that only Christians can have with one another. And to be genuinely united as brothers and sisters in the faith, that is, to, as St. Paul says, to be of the same mind and of the same love. He's talking there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in Philippians chapter 2 about these being of same mind. It's a good thing. It's not a pipe dream. It's not an impossible dream. The Word of God can actually create this. We always stand in the way of it because of our sinful flesh and our unwillingness to not just to agree with one another, but to agree with God's Word. But when Christians find themselves agreeing with God's Word, this is the kind of unity that only God's Word can create, and it transcends language and time and country and nationality, and it transcends what it cannot transcend is saying, well, we don't agree, but we'll still call ourselves united, because that is a false unity. There's a great quote that someone posted someplace. And it was from Hermann Zassa, I believe, that talks about there being greater unity, if we can talk about that, greater unity between two Christians who honestly and honorably disagree than there is in any fellowship of a pious lie, says Hermann Zassa. We've had too long with the pious lie. It's time for that to stop. It's time for honorable, honest, if we have to have it, honorable and honest disagreement and leading to true unity.
Here's an anonymous emailer. He said, I've been a Christian for 10 years or so. All I have seemed to do since becoming a Christian is struggle and battle in my head with sin. It just gets me down and depressed, and I hate it. Bad thoughts, swearing, anger, lust porn. My head is ready to bust. I believe Jesus died for our sins, but why do I still sin? I feel like the most filthy, wretched human on the earth, and it's driving me crazy.
Join the club. And any Christian who tells you that struggle with sin is going to go away or decrease the longer you're a Christian, who tells you you can work your way out of the struggle against sin and somehow sin will no longer be as big a problem for you as it is right now, is lying to you. Any Christian who tells you that, join the club. This is what the life of sanctification looks like. When the Holy Spirit is at work in you through the Word, you will struggle against sin, and it will hurt. And you will look at yourself in the mirror of God's Word, in the mirror of God's law, and you will not like what you see. You're right there with St. Paul in Romans chapter 7. That's where you are. Wretched man. What do you think drove him to say, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? He says it right there in those verses of chapter 7. It is his struggle against sin. This is the Christian's lot. Not a life free from sin, but a life of sin forgiven and a struggle against the constant temptations within and without. And how does Luther describe it? He says it's a daily drowning of the old man, so that the new man may daily come forth and arise and live before God in the perfect righteousness of Christ. This is what you need to know. In spite of the struggle that you and I and St. Paul and all other Christians have against sin. And it doesn't get easier. And it doesn't get prettier. This is what you need to know. The righteousness for which you hunger and thirst, that you want to see in yourself but do not see, is yours in Christ Jesus. The perfect righteousness, the sin-free life, the sinlessness for which you now truly long and for which you truly struggle against your own sin is already yours in Christ Jesus. His righteousness avails. Your struggle against sin, the Holy Spirit is mightily at work in you. Welcome to the club.
Yes, this is Thursday morning, and I'm Herman, and want to just comment on yesterday's program on the anniversary of Bach. It's very good that we had a window opened into Orthodox Lutheranism's last stronghold at Leipzig with Bach, sort of being able to provide the musical ministry there to that time and place. Make a suggestion. Perhaps it would be interesting for Issues Etc., what's known as your bumper music, to put a few more chords of Bach in there. It goes with programs on the internet around the world. It might help tweak that interest that's been picked up in places like Japan through Bach and the Lutheran message, gospel in Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.
And thank you for the comment. We're always open to suggestions. When we did the hour with Pastor Paul McCain on the day that the church remembered Bach this week, we played Bach going in and going out. We don't exclude any era of music from our bumper music. We do try to avoid contemporary Christian music because it's so very obvious and often makes the worst bumper music on a Christian radio station, on a Christian radio program in the Christian context. Isn't that ironic? It makes the worst bumper music. And if we could, you know what we couldn't find? It was just remarkable. Jeff, tell them what you looked for when we were doing Bach. Tell them what you were looking for but could not find but a single example of. In all the vast amount of music that is out there on the internet, readily available for purchase, what was it you were looking for?
Text, the Word of God in Bach's music.
In English?
In English. Found it in German. In English. I don't know enough about it, but I don't understand, since the power is in the Word of God, why aren't people recording Bach's music in English? I mean, I know it's not going to be mass appeal, because once you get God's Word in there, you know, the pagans aren't going to, you know, and the Jews and other people aren't going to be so hip on Bach.
I mean, it says something about what Bach has come to and what people expect, that you search long and hard for any English text of his sacred text. We found one of Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. One. And that was
No, I actually found a couple of Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, you found
English, yeah.
And but by and large, the rest of it is not in a language that anyone in North America is still speaking on a regular basis. And that is a real, I mean, people say, ah, Bach, I love Bach. Do you just sit and listen to the German? I don't understand German when it's spoken. I mean, I can read it, but when it's spoken, I can't keep up. And I'm thinking to myself, is it some kind of magic? Is the language that I don't understand going to somehow communicate God's word to me?
You know,
is it magic?
The Bach revival in Japan, is it to the language of the Japanese? Or is it just Bach's instrumental thing has caused this?
Maybe the Japanese speak German. Who knows? I don't know. And that's a question I have. We have several people, guests past and present, mentioned the Bach revival in Japan. I want to know, is it really a revival of Bach's music, or is it a revival of the texts of Bach's music? Because the power is not in the music. Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast, but it has no power to convert the unregenerate. It can carry the word of God beautifully, and God has made it uniquely suitable to do so. But it's just the cart that carries the passenger. Take the passenger out, and you just have an empty cart. I'm going to have to remember that one. By the way, if you want to leave a comment at the Issues Etc. comment line, you can do so any old time. 618-223-8384. It's the Issues Etc. comment line for your questions, comments, criticisms, show suggestions, whatever you have. 618-223-8384. More email after this, and then Issues Etc. blog of the week.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. It's Issues Etc. coming to you live this Friday afternoon, the 30th of July. A very kind gift and a note from Tom and Carla Fast. Tom Fast is a pastor of long acquaintance. I haven't seen him in years. He used to be down, if I'm not mistaken, in Jacob, Illinois, right on the very banks of the Mississippi River. And they send a note saying, "We thought of you and couldn't resist. Thanks for all of your hard work, Tom and Carla Fast." They sent along self-adhesive stylish mustaches, a mustache for every day of the week. It says, "Don't be caught in public with a naked upper lip." And then there is literally seven mustaches here. There's the Hollywood, that's for Sunday. For Monday, you wear the hero. Tuesday, the square, that's a brown thing. Wednesday, the bruiser that looks remarkably like Pastor Matt Harrison's mustache, although much, much smaller. Pastor Harrison's mustache would just take up the entire thing here. Then on Thursday, you got the weasel, on Friday, the sheriff, and then Saturday, the grandpa. So it's a mustache for every day of the week. I will not be opening this. This is the kind of stuff you just don't open.
It's got to go on your wall.
I have a place already there for it to hang on my wall. And whenever you go to the Facebook fan page, you see any of our pictures from in the studio. If you look kind of over in the corner, you will see the self-adhesive stylus mustaches from Tom and Carla Fast. I don't know where they found it. I wish I would have found this, but it's great.
By the way, speaking of your wall, my wife every now and then reminds me, it's like, if you ever die or something, she wants all those articles back that she framed.
Oh, she does?
Yes.
See, yeah. I always assume that they're LPR property. I mean, right. They're not my personal property. They're LPR property.
You know, she cut them out and did all the work and bought the frames. So
yeah, right. She deserves them.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Someplace I have the actual whole edition of the Wall Street Journal. Somebody sent it to us. I got you.
I ordered Chronicles, all those magazines. I gave you original copies.
I think we've got original copies of all that stuff.
Yeah.
But
unless the cats, your cats got to them or something.
No, they're in here someplace. They're back in that corner.
Oh, they're in the here.
The dark corner of my office.
Okay. Quick email from Brandon. I am a longtime Issues Etc. listener and recent Lutheran, thanks in great part to Todd and Issues Etc. I have an opportunity to be in the St. Louis area in the next couple of months, and I was wondering what your policy is on having people visit the studio. I'd really love to meet you guys and let you know how much you've been a blessing to me and my family over the years. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Brandon.
It's a great question. We have no real policy. We probably should.
We don't have policies on anything,
no,
do we?
No, we don't. We're pretty much policy-free around here, but... What happens is, and summertime has been especially busy for us. This summer has. I think we haven't gone a single week this summer without a couple visitors. Sometimes a visitor virtually every day. Yesterday we had two visitors come in. One unnamed. The other one was who was with us? Was it? It was Ron Olson.
Rob Olson and his son
and
Johannes.
Johannes.
They were
in
Michigan.
I know we got a picture of them. The problem, I have a problem with the LPR camera. It used to be a battery problem. Now my computer won't recognize it. So we've got pictures in there to put on the Facebook fan page of recent visitors. And as soon as I can get my laptop to recognize the camera again, I will get the pictures up there. But, okay, how would we state our policy? If you come between 10 and 6,
right?
Before 10, we're not here. After 6... you'll probably just find one of us here, given whatever day of the week it is, who has the most work left over to do. And from 3 to 6, of course, it's pretty much nothing but show and post-show. When you come, you should probably bear in mind that we're working. You're visiting, we're working. We love for you to come. We really do. But we tell people when they show up, please don't think we're rude. We've got a show to get ready for. Craig will give you a tour, a detailed tour of everything here. There's not much to see. And we always like to have a picture with our visitors and send them away with an LPR bundle package and all those kinds of things. Sometimes the kids get little gifts. Sometimes we give away books. Who knows? But just be prepared when you come to watch us work because we're going to keep working. We've got a show to get ready for.
If possible, we'd like you to let us know in advance in approximately what time and what date, because there's been times when people have come here and we're off that day, we're like surprised and we're like at the last minute doing things for the show. And so if possible, call us or email us in advance just to make sure we're here and give us an idea so we can make preparations.
If you don't call us in advance, you will end up calling us because you will not find us. Virtually everyone who has visited has called us before they show up because they can't locate the place. And that's by design. We don't mind giving you directions if you call. If you call a couple days in advance, it's always helpful because then we can put it on our calendar. We know to expect it. I know to actually like shave, perhaps not wear the same clothes I wore yesterday to work, which is not unusual for me. Jeff always likes to take the trash out. Craig always likes to part his hair very neatly and make sure that everything out there is just so. So just a little advance warning. That's about the only policy we have.